We're going to be finishing up our Sermon on the Mount sermon series with part 15. We're going through 8 verses today, and we're approaching the final words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And we're faced with some of the most solemn, sober, soul-searching words ever to proceed from the lips of the Son of God of Jesus Christ. And these are words that convict us, that really make us think and examine our faith and our lives. And let's read from Matthew 7. We're starting from verse 21, and we'll read the first couple verses here. So 21 and 23. Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.'" Wow. These are some strong words, clear words, and they really make us think, what is Jesus talking about here? What does he mean? Is this me? Who is this for? And this really makes us understand and really choose between being a false disciple and a true disciple of Jesus Christ. In the previous verses we looked last Sunday, Jesus encouraged us to beware of what? False prophets. In these verses, a warning is not only for false prophets, but to those who are also false disciples. Jesus tells us in no uncertain terms that it is possible to say the right things, do the right things, look the right way, and still spend eternity separated from God. There are people who are right in their belief about the nature and the person of Jesus Christ who will not enter heaven. A mere intellectual assent to the truth is not sufficient for receiving eternal life. James 2:19 says, "You believe that God is one. You do well. But even the demons believe and shudder." You see, many people have read the scriptures, accept their teaching, have even argued in their defense, and will still not receive salvation. So what's going on here? How is this possible? The problem here is that people are trusting in their knowledge rather than in Jesus himself. Some people may not just talk the talk, but they may also be very zealous as they walk the walk. This is seen in the double use of the word Lord, Lord. These people are not responding from just a mere intellectual thinking standpoint, but there's an element of feeling and emotion involved. Great enthusiasm in regards to spiritual things does not necessarily imply true spirituality. You see, an oral confession of Jesus as Lord does not always indicate a repentant heart, and neither does doing good things in the name of Jesus. While it is true that those who are truly born again believers, true disciples, will be doers of good works. However, good works alone or declarations of Jesus as Lord do not automatically result in receiving salvation. When you read Acts chapter 19, verses 13 to 6, listen to this. It says, some Jews who went around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon-possessed. They would say, in the name of the Jesus whom Paul preaches, I command you to come out. Seven sons of Sceva, Jewish chief priests, were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know and Paul I know about, but who are you? Then the man who had the evil spirit jumped on them and overpowered them all. He gave them such a beating that they ran out of the house naked and bleeding. You see, false disciples may exercise power in Jesus' name or try to, but their actions are meaningless because they are deceiving themselves and others. And it's because these false disciples desire attention for their own spectacular gain or display, and not for the purposes and glory of God. They're not walking in His will and God's desires. 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 and 12 says, the coming of the lawless one will come in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways that wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, so that they will be condemned who have not believed in the truth but have delighted in wickedness. What did Jesus say at the end of the verses that we read in Matthew 7? Away from me, you lawless ones. And here it says, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. You see, mighty works are not proof of God's will, since they can even come from other sources than God, including demonic powers and even human contrivance. It's dangerous for us to go seeking after signs and miracles, pursuing those things as a sign that God is truly there and working. We're not to chase miracles, we're to chase Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about how Satan masquerades as an angel of light, so even his followers will do the same. Deceiving many. God's word says even the elect will be deceived by great signs and miracles in Matthew 24:24. Therefore, it is crucial that we believe the truth and love the truth and know the truth. What is the truth, church? What is the truth? The truth is found in the person and being of Jesus Christ. Amen. There will come a day when those who relied on their words and works, when they come to a sober realization that they have wasted their life. As the Lord Jesus denies ever having known them as belonging to Him. And Jesus uses the word many, many. The Lord's not talking about a few people here and there. He's talking about a multitude of people who profess Jesus Christ but never possessed Him. It's alarming. It truly is alarming. Many. But there's a way to escape this horrible scene described in verse 23. And it's found in the verses, I never knew you. You see, the Lord is not denying having knowledge of these individuals. What He's denying is having a relationship with them. Do you have a relationship with your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ personally? Imagine a marriage where the husband or wife says, I know that's my wife, but there's no relationship there. What kind of marriage would that look like? You don't know the person. There has to be a relationship, a knowing. Romans 10:9 says, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. The way to avoid being cast out of the eternal presence of Jesus Christ is to know him as your personal Savior, not merely knowing about him. It's not just head knowledge. Believing in your heart, faith, by placing your trust in him. Jesus himself said in John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. One way for sure to know whether we've been born again is to measure our lives by the teaching in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, what we've been going through. How do we measure up? Are we meek? Do we hunger and thirst after righteousness? Are we merciful? Are we pure in heart? Are we being the salt and the light? Does your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees? Are you trying to serve two masters? Are we seeking the kingdom of God above all else? How's your prayer life? Why do we do what we do? What's the motive of your heart? Is it to be seen of men or to honor God? You see, the bottom line comes down to obedience. Obedience. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does what? The will of my Father who is in heaven. How are you living? Are you living according to your own will? But are you seeking the will of God? Are you doing that which he wants you to do? Which he commands you to do? And why are you doing that? Out of obligation or out of love? What is the will of the Father? 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. If we know Jesus and he knows us, it means that we have a relationship with him. And guys, if I don't know Jesus Christ, if I don't truly walk with him, how am I able to rejoice always? How am I able to pray continually? How am I able to give thanks in all circumstances in life? If I don't know him, if I don't have a relationship, I cannot do that. It means that we have a love for our Lord God Jesus Christ. And what did Jesus say? That those who know and love him will do what? John 14:21 says, whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. There's a relationship in these verses. If you love Jesus, you know his commandments, and you keep them and you follow them. And when you do that, he will show himself to you. He will show himself to you. Are you asking yourself the question today, where is Jesus? Where are you? How come I don't know you? Well, are you obedient to his commands? Do you know his commands? And are you obeying out of love? Obedience is key. If we know Jesus, he knows us. If we claim to love him, we are obedient to his words. And that's what Jesus goes on when he teaches in the last words of his Sermon on the Mount, as we go to verse 24 of Matthew 7. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. In Jesus' final words to his disciples and the others who were gathered around him to hear his sermon, Jesus illustrates the importance of obedience and the disastrous results of not obeying. There is no greater foundation upon which can build our lives than that of the obedience to the Word of God. The problem is when it comes to obedience is that sometimes it's not very easy. It's not very easy to be obedient. You see, during the hot summer months, the sand around the Sea of Galilee, it became hard on the surface. And it was much easier just to dig even a few feet and pour a foundation. However, it takes much more time and effort to dig through the sand into the bedrock below before pouring the foundation. Any good builder knows that the foundation is crucial when you're to build a house. And a wise builder does not build on a good foundation. A foolish builder would not be obedient to this fundamental truth about construction. And Jesus teaches that this building principle is true in our lives as well. What we set as a foundation in our lives to build on affects how we will stand in life and also our destination in eternity. You see, the floods come to both the wise and the foolish builder. It's not a matter of if, but when. Life will have difficulties and tribulations. God's word tells us that. Jesus tells us that. It's a fact. Whether a person is Christian or not, there will be tribulation. There will be trials. There will be judgment in the end. However, when the floods come, what obedience does in the life of a believer is what a solid foundation does to a home. It provides security. It provides strength. Because we are committed to a life of obedience in Jesus Christ, when the storms of life come our way, we will not fall. Because we have built our life on the truth, on the Word, and on the person of Jesus Christ. Is that how you're building your life today? What is your foundation? Matthew 7, 28, 29, Jesus, the last few verses here in the Sermon on the Mount account, it says, when Jesus finished saying these things, the crowds were astonished at his teaching, for he was teaching them as one who had authority and not as their scribes. Jesus' words are amazing. They are a source of life for us. They are the best way we can live this life here on earth. Do you heed the teachings of Jesus? Do you read them? Do you obey them? Are you a true disciple or a false disciple? The crowds were astonished at Jesus' teaching. Perhaps they were astonished because Jesus disposed of centuries of tradition and self-interpretation of the scriptures that the scribes and Pharisees were doing. And Jesus returned the teachings back to God's original intended meaning. And people are still astonished today of Jesus' teachings. So do not be ashamed of the Word of God. Do not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. Live according to it. Put it into practice. Follow His commands and teach others to do the same. Let's be true disciples as we are. Homework this week. Read chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew as a recap of this sermon series that we've done. Can you do that? Yeah. Raise your hand if you want to be a disciple of Christ, continually being a disciple every day. Amen. Raise your other hand if you want to be a disciple who makes disciples. Hey, praise God. We can do that. That is a commandment. That is a great commission. And let's be encouraged. We're not doing this alone. We're doing it together as His body. And most importantly, we're doing it with Him. Jesus promised never to leave us. All authority has been given to Him, and He will never leave us. And He has given us the Helper and the Holy Spirit to fulfill this mission and this commandment that He's given us, to preach to all the world, to make disciples and baptize them. So let's go forth and do that in the power and the fellowship of the church and of God. Amen? Can you stand with me as we close off in prayer?